Commission is holding a special meeting today. It's July 14th, 2008. We have two items on the agenda. The commission is meeting today in the commission hearing room, 12th floor of the state capitol in Bismarck, North Dakota. With me today is Commissioner Kevin Kramer, and Commissioner Tony Clark is calling into this meeting. First, we'll go to Commissioner Kramer to see if he has any opening comments. And then we are still waiting for the phone call in from Commissioner Clark, which should come momentarily. So we may need to take a short break before we start the meeting while we process his phone call.
Good morning.
Okay. Do you have anything you want to add this morning, Commissioner Kramer, as long as we have a few minutes here?
Yeah, not really.
Okay.
I did not prepare for any
chit-chat
speeches. But, I'd like to, if I think about it long enough.
Mm-hmm. All right. Anyway, so we will pause momentarily while we are waiting for the incoming call of Commissioner Clark.
Our budget has me in stunned silence.
I don't believe
that. Not quite.
You'll have plenty of comments.
It's always so fun to deal with at a high level, Tammy. And then when I get all the pages and the stuff that you guys love, then my eyes water. Then somebody has to interpret it for me.
Okay. At this time, we're going to proceed without Commissioner Clark. And so I'll make the first motion. I move the commission submit the 2009-2011 budget to the Office of Management and Budget in accordance with the governor's guidelines. And I further move the commission submit the 2009-2011 Information Technology Plan to the Information Technology Department.
Second.
Now, our budget that we are submitting today is a total of all sources, $15,088,447. Our 2007-2009 biennium appropriation was $12,903,704. You'll see that there's about a $2 million increase. That is due to $2 million more that we're requesting for AML funding. We know that that is going to be coming from the federal government, and so we need to include those dollars in our budget. If you'll remember, we had a year and a half ago now, we learned from the federal government that our funding would be increased in this biennium, and so we're making plans for that at this time. Also, because of that, in our salaries line item, at the present time, we have $4,208,682, and that's in our 2007-09 biennium appropriation. This time, we're asking for $365,000 more than we had. We're asking for $365,076 in our optional budget changes. These are changes that the commission can request, things that we think that we need in the next biennium. They're optional. And that would cover three new public utility division employees and one AML position for the second year of the biennium. The three public utility division employees are, the commission has talked about this at great length, are very necessary because right now we only have four full-time people working in our public utilities division, three professionals and one administrative assistant. And with the workload that we have right now, we certainly need more assistance in that area. Our total general funds, which is the one that we look at, is we had $4,890,887 in our 2007-09 biennium appropriation. Our 2009-11 budget request that we're sending in is for $4,812,236,000. And then, of course, on top of that, we have additional optional budget changes, and so our total request is $5,859,406.
I think this budget represents the absolute best effort by staff and the commission to both meet the governor's guidelines of a 100% budget as well as meet our responsibilities in this very growing energy industry in our state. It's funny, in all of the budgets I've ever administered, both at tourism for two biennia and at ED&F through two budget cycles, I've never had a budget that was more than the previous one. I've always submitted a smaller budget. And in this particular situation, as Commissioner Weefall has pointed out, there is just a need for more people in the PUD division. Now, the thing that I'm always most proud of the PSC, and Commissioner Weefall has been an incredible budget hawk. She one thing she's really good at, she's good at a lot of things, but she's really good at the budget. And it's obvious when you look at it, this is an agency that literally is one-third smaller today than it was 20 years ago. Now, that's pretty significant. And so when cuts have needed to be made, when it was appropriate, those cuts were made and diligence was done, and the taxpayers can be sure that that good fiscal responsibility has been the norm at the PSC. But now is a time when we need to grow a little bit to meet the demand. Now, you also know, I think everybody knows, that in the last year or two, the workload, while it's been heavy, has been done. It's been done well by our staff. We've met not only our mandate, but we've met demands of companies that are building, whether it's transmission lines, pipelines, wind farms, the waiver of the one-year waiting period between a letter of intent and an application, permit application, meeting the urgency of deadlines that are imposed either by investors or by federal mandates or federal deadlines. We've met them all, and it's been a yeoman's task. We're glad that we've been able to do it, but it won't be able to continue at this pace without some extra help. So that's why there are some extra, we are asking our supplemental budget for some more bodies to oversee the growing demand. So I it's a very good effort. My appreciation certainly to the staff for their good work, and we look forward to seeing how we do in with the governor and OMB in this next step of the process.
And we'll next go to Commissioner Clark, who has now joined us by phone. Do you have any comments on the budget that we're proposing, Commissioner Clark?
No, very few. I heard most of Kevin's comments and would just echo those. We are in a time period where we don't have the luxury that we've perhaps had in the last few years to have a very that with farming for activities out, I think we'll probably continue to do some of the consulting contracts. But we have this situation where you have both the smallest utility staff in the country paired with probably the state that has as much, if not more, energy activity going on than any other state in the country. And it's, I think, finally caught up to us. So I know it's something that the commissioner asked FT.
You're breaking up, Tony, so I don't know, but you are breaking up on the phone.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, I'm hearing feedback.
Okay, anything further right now before we vote?
Nope.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right, and then we'll go to item 2 on the agenda. I move the commission adopt the supplemental findings of fact, conclusions of law and order, issuing first amended route permit number 115 to Minn Kota Power Cooperative for its proposed alternate reroute of its 230 kV transmission line in Rush River Township of Cass County, North Dakota, case number PU0848.
Second.
Now, on May 22nd of 2008, the Public Service Commission held a public hearing in Castleton to consider Minn Kota Power Cooperative's application for a corridor certificate and a route permit. And during that May 22nd hearing, the Commission requested that Minn Kota file a late-filed exhibit exploring alternative reroutes in the northeast portion of Rush River Township because of landowner concerns regarding potential adverse impacts of electric magnetic fields or stray voltage to cattle in Section 2. And on May 28th of 2008, Minn Kota submitted late filed Exhibit 2 with a recommendation that the commission approve an alternate reroute in the northeast portion of Rush River Township. Then on May 30th, they filed a supplement to late filed exhibit number 2, and Mincota recommended that the alternative reroute be contingent upon completing cultural, biological, and wetland surveys. Now, the commission then held a public hearing on July 8th, 2008, here in the commission hearing room. And the commission was hopeful that perhaps everyone could come to agreement on the proposed reroute. That has not occurred. In finding number 7 of the hearing, we explain. Edward and Jean Olson, Argusville, North Dakota, presented public testimony at both the May 22, 2008 public hearing and the July 8, 2008 supplemental public hearing. At the May 22, 2008 hearing, Mr. Olson requested that the commission try really hard to figure out a way to run that power line so it's at least at the very minimum 1 mile and more than 2 miles from our farm, and that was a quote. As a result, Mincota developed and proposed the alternative reroute, which was requested during the May 22nd hearing and was the subject of the July 8th hearing. And Mr. Olson requested, however, at the July 8th hearing that the reroute be rerouted again to a distance of 2 to 5 miles from his property due to concerns about potential adverse effects of electromagnetic fields or stray voltages upon the Olson's cattle. Now, the commission is finding in this case that the alternative reroute being considered in the supplemental hearing for the transmission line in the area of the Olson's farm is at least 1 mile from their property and at least 1.5 miles from their farmstead. Given the time and expense of developing this alternative reroute to accommodate the Olson's original request, the commission finds that the Olson's July 8th request for additional rerouting is not reasonable. This seems to be the best solution at this time. And it is not a perfect solution, and I guess the commission is always sorry when we can't make everyone happy. But we've learned over the years that that isn't always possible. We do the very best we can to meet the requirements of the law and to address landowner concerns. And in this case, we feel that we have made a reasonable accommodation to meet landowner concerns, and that's the very best we can do in this particular situation. When we looked at other alternative routes in the July 8th hearing, we found that there were other reasons that we shouldn't go along those routes. And so this one seemed to meet all the criteria that we have in the siting law, plus be a reasonable accommodation to move the line away from the Olson's farm. Therefore, the commission orders that the first amended route permit for construction of a transmission facility number 115 is issued to Mincota, granting authority to construct the proposed alternative reroute of the transmission line in the northeastern portion of Rush River Township, and this order is supplemental to the commission's June 6, 2008 findings of fact and conclusions of law and order.
When I spoke earlier about best efforts and our ability to meet the urgent demands of a growing industry and frankly the needs of consumers, this project probably is the best example I could come up with if I was to draw one up. And that is that when you consider that on May 22nd we had a hearing, by June 6th we had an order permitting all but a couple of miles of a 60-mile transmission line, and then that by today we're able to have a supplemental order out. I think it's a great demonstration of the work ethic at the commission and our ability to respond to industry's needs while at the same time never compromising the responsibility we have to the citizens as well as cultural and natural resources. I too, it always hurts a little bit when not everybody is 100% satisfied, although I am heartened by the fact that the other Rush River Township residents who also were protestants in this particular, the original route, have been satisfied. I do believe that the company and the commission meets the initial request of the Olsons as well. I applaud the company as well. These things aren't just about the commission responding quickly and favorably. It's also about the company being flexible enough to allow us to do an order and a permit on the first phase of it and to carve out a little piece of it while we work with the landowners and try to satisfy those demands as well. So I applaud Minn Kota and their team as well. And this particular transmission line, as we all know, helps facilitate the movement of all important and growing demand of wind energy. So kudos to everybody that was involved. I'm sorry it couldn't have made everybody happy, but at the same time, I think it is the best result for the greater good.
Commissioner Clark, do you have any comments?
Nothing to add, just that I concur with my fellow commissioners.
All right.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye. Okay, and we have some members of the media who are present here today. Just a couple of announcements. The commission is going to be doing some interviews today and tomorrow for people who are applying for our director of our administrative unit now that we have set up. And so we're looking forward to interviewing those candidates. The commission has a couple of meetings tomorrow. We have a meeting at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. We're meeting with Minnesota Power. And at that meeting, we're going to be talking about the wind project and the transmission line and all of those issues that relate around Center, North Dakota. At 1:30 tomorrow, we're meeting with the Fish and Wildlife Service, Federal Fish and Wildlife Service, and they have some issues that they would like to share with the commission regarding wind development. All right. Are there any further questions from anyone who is here today?
So we're clear about the three positions that would be added to the Public Utilities Division. What would those jobs entail? What are they going to be doing?
Well, actually, we know that we need technical staff. We need two people for additional technical staff, and these positions would be engineers, accountants, folks who can really help us analyze the applications that are coming in and to help us do a very good job both for the citizens of North Dakota and for industry of North Dakota.
The one, if you were to break it kind of in two, if you will, and Susan's exactly right, they're technical positions. The one area where we've really not had we've relied a lot on consultants, of course, is largely an economic analysis of rate cases, prudence cases, things like that. We know of rate cases that are going to be coming even yet this year and certainly shortly after as well, because all of this investment requires some recovery of costs. So one of the positions will be focused more on the economic analysis of cases. The other one will be more on the physical engineering scientific analysis of probably siting and cases as well. So those two areas of expertise are the main technical areas that we'll be looking for.
And then we would need one additional administrative position for that, for the Public Utilities Division. And then also our budget includes one federally funded position, which would be in our AML division, which would start the second year of the biennium, in order to help us be able to handle the greater load of projects that are going to come from having additional federal funding.
What would be the total that you expect then for our AML funding?
Said it was a $2 million increase. Right now we receive about $2 million, and we would be receiving about $4 million. I'm looking at Gloria.
Oh, right. Now I believe we receive, Jim? I'll let Jim is our director of reclamation. He has the exact numbers that we're looking for.
Yeah, the total amount for our AML program has went from $1.5 to $3 million. Then later on it's going to be eventually going up for a few years.
And we have had, over the years we have, but it seems like recently we've had a fair number of emergency situations prop up as well. So, getting to these projects, getting to these construction projects quicker has tremendous safety value, obviously, to the citizens of North Dakota as voids and sinkholes continue to prop up. Under people's homes, for example, as has recently happened up in Northwest.
Could be. They said they're going to talk to us about a number of issues. Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, their agency, like lots of others, it's kind of interesting to finally have, I say finally have this discussion. It's not like we've been dying to have this discussion, but it is interesting to note that all of this development does not happen in a vacuum, that although we've always consulted with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, they are all their sign-off and is always on our checklist, if you will, of permits and easements and things like that that are required. Now, as we contemplate, you know, hundreds of megawatts and thousands even of megawatts of wind development, it's probably time to sit down and just evaluate each other's priorities and how we move forward and ensure that not only the safety of our natural resources, but that we meet that all-important charge of orderly development of the energy infrastructure in North Dakota.
Anything else?
Did Mr. Olson provide any scientific fact about electromagnetic fields and effect on cattle?
I don't know that he was required to provide any scientific fact. He did have an expert that he had brought into the hearing who testified at the hearing on May the 22nd. And so he had an expert witness. I believe he was from Moorhead, Minnesota.
He was, as I recall, he was a Concordia College, former Concordia College professor.
Anyway, and so they had information on the record for us to consider about that issue. And the commission certainly took all of that into consideration.
Dave, I would characterize it as not having credible evidence to support stray voltage claims. He did have a witness that testified, as Susan said, but in the end, in my view, that testimony didn't have the credibility that it would be required for us to give it greater consideration than we did.
That being said, is this an issue that is going to crop up?
It has been a long-standing issue. When I first came on the commission, and whenever, quite frankly, we are citing transmission lines, you can have this issue come forward as an issue.
Mm-hmm. You know,
it is one that there's been a tremendous amount of study done, not only by citizens, but by the industry, in order to find out exactly all they can about electric magnetic fields. Terry Lean has been following those surveys over many, many years, and that not only surveys, but the research that has been done on this issue. There's been no conclusive result to these studies, and so that makes it difficult, I think, to people on both sides.
From the research that I've done, Dave, and it's just, you know, research in articles and other studies, the most credible reports and evidence seems to focus more on the impact it has on dairy cattle and milk output, things like that, and in much wetter climates. I think of Wisconsin as an example, and there's been some pretty extensive work done over there and some article that I saw. But, you know, as I look over, I keep looking over to the left, I see that picture of those cattle right next to, is that Antelope Valley Station, and wondering how many megawatts are, you know, in that area and you know, all around. We know that. I mean, just east of Bismarck here, there's a cattle herd that grazes under some large high voltage lines. But at any rate, I think Susan's right. It's never been conclusive, at least not to.
Expressed a concern because that particular line route went by and very close to a number of homes. That was one of the reasons that the commission requested that an alternative route be provided, because we wanted a route that went, there seemed to be an alternative route, which is the one that we have approved today, which did not go near as many people's residences, as well as avoided the Olson's farm, which at that time seemed a reasonable manner.
And I think it should be noted that the Olson's do have a unique operation in that area, and that they have cattle. You know, the Red River Valley is not famous for its, you know, tremendous ranching, but they are unique in that regard, and they are obviously top drawer ranchers. And so it is a little bit unusual, and I'm glad we could accommodate moving the line. I'd say
half a dozen.
Yeah, I would. I think of, for example, I know that Larry Weirs, for example, testified. And they have a ranch a farm and a home real close to there. Ralph and Phyllis, and their last name is escaping me right now, but I'll think of it later, as well. And there was at least one or two other couples that. And Susan's exactly right. This new route avoids more homes, quite honestly. It's one of those routes where you scratch your head and think, why didn't they think of that first?
Okay.
Oh, do you have a cost on this?
No, we did not have a cost on this because we had the cost for the total transmission line. And that included this part of this project, because this isn't increasing the distance of the transmission line. It's just taking a different route.
It does add two poles.
We do not have the cost broken out for this particular portion of this. But I can get you the overall cost. Jerry can get you that.
Okay. I was just curious.
Okay. All right. Thank you very, very much. Tony, did you have anything you wanted to add? Are you still with us? I think he's off.
Right. Nope, I'm here.
Okay, good. Anything else you wish to add?
No, not relevant to this. I just note I'll keep in touch with Charlene. I'm actually not in Fargo today. I came down with something last night, and so.
Oh dear.
I'm sort of doubtful that I'll be able to make the interviews this afternoon, but I'll let you know.
Okay, and well, what we can always do is have you. Oh, we need to have approval for you to sign the orders for Charlene to sign these for you.
Yes, thank you.
All right, thank you. And then we'll look forward to seeing you, if possible, this afternoon. We can always have you sit way across the room.
We'll wear masks.
Okay, all right. Thank you very much. Bye.
It's the pits to get sick when it's 90 degrees. Mm-hmm. Is this mine or is this you?